Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
So good morning, church family. There we go. I'm Tim Gauch. I'm one of the leaders here at Landmark. It is good to see your faces. It's good to be in your company. We just came out of the church season of Advent, a month leading up to Christmas, where we as God's people anticipate and long for our Lord to come. Do you remember that? And God did not disappoint. A child was born, the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah, Jesus Christ, at long last, at just the right time, the Creator God of the universe came to us as a child. A fully human little bundle of squeaks and cries, of pudgy leg rolls and poop explosions, ready to experience all of what it's like to be one of us. And as we start the new year, we now turn our faces, we turn our attention, and we look forward to life with God, life in and with His family. And for 4 weeks, what are some benefits within this community? Sermon-wise, we've got three-lane highway that we're going to be traveling on this year. One is we're going to be journeying through the Gospel of Matthew. Three. So lane one, we journey through the Gospel of Matthew. Two, we may be picking up where we left off in Revelation. And three, sprinkled throughout this year, we're going to be doing some intergenerational community. So that's kind of the year that we've got planned. So buckle up. I get to kick us off this year with 4 weeks on the benefits of kind of different stages of life that we experience as an intergenerational community, okay? And we've got four. We've got childhood, which we're going to do this morning. We've got adulthood. We've got old age. And we've got end of life. I already heard a snicker. Now, I about old age, I realize there's no good way of putting old age, is there? I mean, we could say elderly, but nobody likes that. We could say elder, but then that gets confusing because of our church structure and how we name things. What about seniors? How about geriatric? Ooh, that's gross, isn't it? I feel dirty. All right. I feel like I'm digging myself in this hole even deeper. How about golden years? Well, that's too close to golden girls, isn't it? What about retirement age? Well, we never know when we're going to retire, right? So we can't use that. That constantly changes. How about debility? Who uses that? How about decrepitude? Ouch. Ouch. Thesaurus.com was not helping me out on this one. I do want to point out, and so we're going to stick with old age, okay? Just for now. If anybody can come up with a better one, I heard seasoned, but again, that's kind of like retirement age. If you have a better one, let me know after service, okay? But I do want to point out that there is a reason why America does not really have a good and honorable way to describe old age. But you'll have to wait till week three for that, so just stay tuned. And one last little bit of setup. We're going to be in Psalm 23 for 4 weeks as we make our way through this little mini-series. So if you want to turn there now on your phone app or your Bible, and if you want to join me in memorizing this psalm, there's only 6 verses, and we'll be spending 4 weeks on it. So if you want to begin memorizing it with me, you can say it out loud with me as we go over it. So, Psalm 23, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For this mini-series, I'm going to bracket the age and range of children from newborn to 13 years old. Okay, so from newborn to 13. How are children a benefit to our whole church? Why are children so important to the church body as a whole? Jesus didn't have to come into this world as a baby. He could have shown up as an adult, ready to gather disciples and to proclaim the good news of the gospel. But we just came out of Advent, didn't we? Singing and teaching on the birth of baby Jesus. So clearly, childhood is quite important to God. But how are children important? What is the benefit of having children in our community? So this question is huge. There's no way that we can fully do it justice in the time that we have this morning. So we're going to narrow the question down, and we're going to kind of ask Psalm 23 to give us some clues. And for those who like a roadmap in this mini-series, if you want to look at at Psalm 23 in your Bible or in your phone, here's how we're going to break down these next 4 weeks. So week one today on children is going to be verses 1, 2, and 3. Verse 4 is going to be for adults. Verse 5 is going to be for old age. And verse 6 is going to be for end of life. And another, Psalm 23 is a lot greater, and it's more complex than what we're utilizing it for this morning. But it is a fabulous scriptural anchor point for our studies, and so because it spans the entirety of our life cycle. So without further ado, let's get in. Let's play around in Psalm 23. So verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord guides, he leads, he protects us. He keeps us alive and he watches over us. There are plenty of stories and videos about how foolish sheep are. And we laugh because they're funny. See that one that it jumped and it gets stuck in the ditch and then it gets pulled out and then it jumps and it gets stuck in the ditch again. In fact, the older we get, the more painful this laugh is because we realize that we are still prone to be making silly choices. And the truth hurts sometimes. And in a very real sense, we are all God's children. And so let these parallels hit home today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What is it like to be a child? Do you remember? Do you remember that part of all of our experience of childhood is to be needy? It's to be dependent on others. A baby's only defense against the harsh realities of this world are its cries. I have needs, the cry goes. Someone help me. And what lovely these sounds make at 3 o'clock in the morning. A good parent imitating God provides for the child. Children need, they're dependent on others. They lack the skills necessary to keep themselves alive. And also, a good parent shepherds their child, making sure that their needs are taken care of. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. To be a child is to be vulnerable. The mama bear knows this truth. The mama bear is fearsome in her own right. But when you feel the earth trembling as she gallops to defend her cubs, you know you're not long for this world. Children are weak, not having the strength to stand up against threats to their safety. God knows this. That's why he makes us lie down in green pastures. Stay right here. I'll handle this. God knows where to take us, where those green pastures are. He also knows when to press onward and when to rest, when to lie down. Another part of a child's vulnerability is that they're not in control. Their developing mind and heart and body of a child, it's a marvelous thing to witness. Precious, the first steps of a baby. And later on, those steps, as they can get awkward as the legs grow faster than the body and kids trip over themselves. But a good parent, like our Heavenly Father, leads their child beside still waters. Not too much, not too little to handle. Children are susceptible to forces beyond their comprehension. Certain waters are toxic or dangerous. Don't drink that water, the shepherd says. Trust me, I'll take you to where I know it's safe to drink. Verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God restores my soul. He restores my soul. What does it feel like to be restored? To have your soul restored? I remember one Christmas morning, I was 5 or 6. It was still pitch black outside. It was like 5 a.m. or something. And I crept slowly downstairs from my bedroom to find all the presents, you know, surrounding the Christmas tree, just begging to be opened. And off to the side, my eyes slowly moving, straining to try and figure out what that clump of shadows could be. And my parents got me my first bicycle. It was blue and it had a kickstand. And I swear that there were cool flame decals on it. My soul was restored. My mom and dad, they knew me through and through. And later on, when they took me out into the neighborhood with the wind blowing through my hair, well, this is before the helmet law, right? Blowing through my hair, my soul was restored. I was free. I was free as my 5-year-old heart could fathom. And within the loving gaze of our Heavenly Father, his children are free to wonder, to be creative, curious. They're free to explore the world. And in his strong and powerful arms of their parents, the child can safely have their time of innocence. My dad is strong, the little boy says to his friend, stronger than your dad. And in those mighty arms of daddy, there is no fear. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Good parents, like God, lead their children in healthy ways of living. Under the careful watch of mommy, children begin to associate bad smells with disgust, learning when to clean it up or keep their distance. Mother teaches healthy relational skills too, how to get along with other kids, how to take turns, how to be patient, how to delay gratification. That's a hard one. And how to help around the house. And God is proud of his kids too. He's proud of them. There's no one quite like me. And there's no one quite like you. And God designed us that way. Each person is given the divine spark in such a way that no one else bears the Creator's image quite like you. God wanted you. He desired to have you. He enjoyed making you. And he enjoys you now, just the way you are. Last week, Dave highlighted some of our biblical giants of the faith. Remember? Noah and Moses, King David, the Apostle Peter, and all who messed up in profoundly human ways. Yet God never stopped loving them, never casted them out of his family. He never removed them from his presence. No wonder he invites and leads us on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. No wonder. For the child, anything is possible. The border between fantasy and reality is paper thin. And all of us are born into this world with both profound fear and boundless wonder. Which is why when those nightmares wake you up at night as a child, we run and we jump into our parents' bed, nestling in between them with really cold feet, into the warmth and the safety of their presence. I don't have any experience with that. And when those nightmares hit as grown-ups, we've got our Heavenly Father inviting us to look up at the blanket of stars in the night sky, comforting us with his creation. All right, so I've mused. We've gone through a few verses. So what benefit do children bring to our church family? Well, so far we've talked about children and their stage of life bringing, well, dependence. They're needy, they're helpless. They lack skills. They're vulnerable, they're weak, having no control, they're susceptible. They have great fear and wonder. They're curious, they're creative. They're believing that anything is possible. And all of these character traits, all of these attributes of children in themselves are not all that beneficial. But when they are seen as avenues of how God loves and cares for his children, they reveal the character of God in beautiful ways. In Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, God declares himself to be the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands or thousands of generations, and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children's and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Psalm, paired with Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, reveals that all of God's children are to respond to our Heavenly Father in ways that resemble the stage of a child. We, all us grown-ups and, you know, we're successful business people and all this good stuff, we are to continue to come to God, our Heavenly Father, needy, trusting, being teachable, being vulnerable, being full of wonder and curiosity. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten that this is our posture towards our Heavenly Father? And by doing so, we live humble lives. And also we showcase the character of God to be sustaining, to be patient, to be loving and knowledgeable, kind and wise, protective, possessive, and marvelous. I'd say that's pretty beneficial, wouldn't you? But there's another dimension to all of this as well. I've been highlighting the vertical dimension, right? The up and down, God and his creation, Heavenly Father and all humanity. But there's a horizontal dimension to this as well that's worth mentioning, our human-to-human interaction. All that we've talked about has been based on the foundational declaration that every human is made in God's image, meaning that children are fully in God's image themselves. They're not deficient. They're not incomplete in their image-bearing nature. God is not waiting for them to grow up to be, well, to, I guess, fully bear God's image. That's not the case. And this is evidenced in Christ. Remember our Savior coming to us in such a way that he too was a baby and a child. This truth has crazy ramifications in a very real sense, because every human on planet Earth bears God's image. We, as part of God's family representing him in the world, are obligated and encouraged to treat others, especially those different from ourselves, as fellow image bearers. And this is without needing to change them first. So going back to children now, children are not simply future adults. As we will see in week 4, God knows the day and the hour of our death. And death is no respecter of age or stage or situation. All this truth presents an overwhelming avalanche of evidence to us as God's family to be about the work of honoring and dignifying others, to show, to value our fellow image bearers as we value God. For the other person, every other person is in the very image of God. God values and honors children, yes, and enjoying their natural tendencies to be dependent and vulnerable and full of fear and wonder. Therefore, let us take our cues from God's loving character about how to respond to him in childlike faith, as well as how to treat our fellow image bearers whom God loves, just like he loves you. So Psalm 23, Exodus 34 encourages us and reminds us to be loving, to be full of kindness, to be protective, to be patient, to be gracious, honoring, dignifying in our actions. And children are remarkable reminders of this beautiful truth. What a marvelous benefit they are to our whole church family. Would you pray with me? So, Heavenly Father, we come to you as your children, humbly, because we're needy, because we're vulnerable, because we're dependent. And without you, we will not, we cannot, we would never be able to survive. Not really. And so thank you for being such a wonderful parent to us. Thank you for gathering us into and as a family where we get to practice, well, being your children, but also practice loving one another because we all bear your image. Thank you for being gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast loving kindness. Thank you for leading us beside still waters. Thank you for those green pastures. Thank you for restoring our soul. Lord, thanks for being a good daddy. Amen.